The end of Nightline, as we now know it, is approaching. Ted Koppel will host his last broadcast of the show on November 22nd and will step down from the program he helped invent more than 25 years ago.
This is ABC News Nightline. Reporting from Washington, Ted Koppel.
Good evening. This is a new broadcast in the sense that it is permanent and will continue after the Iran crisis is over.
Since its beginning, Ted Koppel has won scores of the most prestigious awards in broadcasting and delayed bedtime for millions of Americans who've come to consider Nightline to be a kind of national stage and town hall, shedding light and often striking sparks with Mr. Koppel's signature interviews and what can only be called his moral authority. He's been both gracious and pugnacious, sympathetic and exacting, friendly, but unflappable and sometimes unforgiving.
I understand.
Let me just explain
rationale.
I think I'm entitled to, but you just don't like my answer.
No, what I'm saying is I find your answer...
You asked the question, but you don't like the answer. What do you want me to say?
I find the answer inconsistent with the evidence, is what I'm saying,
well,
Mr. Vice President.
That's your opinion. Dan, I'll take all the credit,
Dan's the other fella.
Ted.
That's then-Vice President George Bush getting capelted over the Iran-Contra affair. We sat down with Ted Koppel over at ABC this week. He remembered that in November of 1979, when he was first called in to host a late-night news special about the taking of U.S. hostages at the embassy in Tehran, he thought the story just wouldn't last.
I didn't for two reasons. The selfish one was that it was a Sunday morning, and I really didn't want to go into work. The more cerebral answer was that there had been a similar incident just a few months previous, and the then U.S. ambassador had come out, had spoken to the students, and they had given up after just a couple of hours. And I said, this thing isn't going to last, and it'll be over in a matter of hours. And they said, well, come in anyway. So I did, and it wasn't, and that was the beginning of Nightline.
How much did the technology that was just coming into use then contribute to making a show that was lively and could be topical and where you could actually have people talk to each other directly?
Huge, because we discovered more by accident than anything else that it was possible to have one person sitting in Tehran and another in Moscow and another in Washington. And since they could all hear each other, it simply remained for me as the host of the Tea Party to say, well, Foreign Minister, why don't you respond to what the Defense Minister here just said? And before you knew it, you had people who under normal circumstances wouldn't talk to each other engaging in the most extraordinary free-willing conversations. We had Iranians talking to Iraqis during the Iran-Iraq War. We had Israelis talking to Palestinians. We had Irish Protestants talking to Irish Catholics. And we were able to maintain the mythology that they weren't really talking to each other because they were talking through me.
And it is perhaps symbolic of the delicacy with which the negotiations proceeded just to bring this panel together and to bring this audience together. But it has been suggested to me that we need a symbolic divider between our Israeli guests on the one hand and our Palestinian guests on the other. I must tell you that it has been so difficult to arrange this broadcast that was one small price that we were prepared to pay. So here it is. I will try and spend as much time on one side as on the other. Let me, in fact, as I move across our fence right now, let me go immediately to one of our panelists, and I'm going to be introducing
And it would be, well, Ted. And then the other guy would come back. And as long as he said, well, Ted, before he gave his response, they weren't really talking to each other.
Your first interview with Nelson Mandela, what was that like?
Well, it was, I wasn't alone. I mean, yeah. Dan Rather was there, and I forget who the hell was there for NBC, but there were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of people there, and we were all, in effect, as smoothly as possible, trying to elbow each other out of the way to get the first interview. I mean, it didn't really make any difference. We all got it for our programs that night.
Take me back to Robben Island for a moment. Pretend for a moment that one of your grandchildren is here. To someone who has no idea what Robben Island was like, do you remember the first day or the first night when you were taken?
Oh, yes. I was at the back with another comrade, and there were two others in front. And they were very harsh. And then I whispered it to my colleagues that, look, we must fight right from the beginning. They must know what type of men we are right from the beginning.
You know, it's rare. I don't know about you, but over the years, I tend to become... Lily Tomlin has a wonderful line. She says, no matter how cynical I get, I can never keep up. And I tend to feel that way about most public figures that I have met. Very few of them live up to expectations. Nelson Mandela did.
Yeah.
And does.
Do you think the growth of the show and the way with the, among great many Americans, it seemed to be a way of announcing that an issue was important, is something you've been able to take advantage of and move the viewing public along, issues that you've taken on?
I don't think so. I'm afraid there is just too much of us, Scott, too much media. I sometimes think that we have become so obsessed with the means of communication that have been developed that we have lost all contact with the message that is being conveyed. And part of the problem is that because, at least at our end of the microphone in commercial broadcasting, we have to worry about selling product. More emphasis is placed now on trying to tailor the news and tailor the stories that we cover to the perceived interests of our favored commercial customers, rather than newsmen and women doing what I've always believed we should do, and that is tell people what's important, try to make it as interesting as we possibly can, but focus on the importance of the issues rather than focusing simply on what it is they think they want to hear and see.
Is there some lesson in Nightline, though, that you can do an outstanding program and tens of millions of Americans will watch it? And somebody ought to be able to make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah, and look, let's face it, over the years, first Paramount and then Cap Cities and more recently Disney has made quite literally hundreds of millions of dollars. And they have compensated me handsomely for being in some small measure responsible for their making all that money. And it is only fair, and I have no complaint with the system. It has served me very, very well, that as we make less money and as I made more money over the years with each passing contract, that my importance to the company diminished rather than rose. In other words, I cost more, I'm bringing in less, therefore it's time to bring in a new group who cost less and who, one will hope, bring in more of an audience and therefore more money.
Just this bluntly, what are your feelings toward ABC at this point?
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I've had a look. I was 23 when I came here. I'm 65 now, and it's been a joy. I cannot imagine any other profession that would have given me as much satisfaction, as much pleasure, and as much comfort in the final analysis as this one has, and that's been ABC. I joined ABC when ABC was fifth in a three-network race and lived to see the day Peter Jennings and I dreamed when we were in our early 20s that we would somehow be party to making ABC a network that would rival NBC and CBS. And we did. And that's a source of great, great pleasure.
Ted Koppel, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Ted Koppel, who hosts his last Nightline on November 22nd. Nightline will continue with new anchors and a new format. Ted Koppel will keep on going, too.
That's our report for tonight. For all of us
here at ABC News,
this is Ted Koppel in Mogadishu,
Little Rock,
Wilmington, Delaware, Moscow.
We'll be back in Washington next week.
I'm Ted Koppel in Ramallah. For all of us here at ABC News, good night.